Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. Our guest today is Dave Arvik, who is working on the Marinelli Field Restoration Project. It's a project that is going to be supporting young children. You're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station, WHRULP. Dave, welcome to Around Town. We want to tell the folks about Marinelli Field.
Thank you, Ron. Yeah, basically what we've done is we've gotten our group of parents together for a local youth league team, and Marinelli Field's a former home to the Rockford Cubbies, the Rockford Royals, Rockford Expos, and Rockford Reds. And unfortunately, when they left town back in 2000, the stadium went vacant for a few years. They've tried to have a couple other teams that were amateur teams, collegiate-level teams, but they also left in about 2006. So for the most part, the field has barely been used in close to 17 years now. And when I drove by it, it's right on the river. It's a historic location. It's been a big part of Rockford community for the 12 years it was a minor league field. And I drove by and said, I want to see what it looks like. And unfortunately, there was grass everywhere, weeds everywhere. They just had basically abandoned it. It was just too costly for the park district to keep up.
So it's basically a wreck and ruin.
Yes. It definitely needed some love.
So where do you begin?
For us, it was a process of talking to the park district, getting everything worked out, because we're doing this on a nonprofit basis, so there isn't a single person getting paid. Really what we're trying to do is get this back, so not only teams can use it, but the Rockford area youth can use it. There's a couple of high school teams up there that struggle to get 12 kids in four grades to come out for baseball each year. And that seems to be from they don't play as kids. And they don't love it if they do, or they're not learning the right way. So I went to the park district and said, if you're willing to discount the cost and work with me, I want to get this to where we can have camps here for ages 8 years old, even younger if they want to bring them out, and do absolutely free camps where we just teach them the simple things, throwing a ball, hitting a ball, and catching a ball. And that's where the idea came from. And over the course of 3-4 months, we got everything worked out with the lease. The park district's been great to work with. The head guy, Andrew Clausen, has been fantastic with helping out anytime we need a little bit that he can do anyway, he does. And now we've just started our first phase of actually getting the field playable.
So how does the U.S. Army get involved in this?
So the U.S. Army, I went and talked to them. I mentioned to them the team that I'm coaching is 17-year-old and younger, young men. And I said, here's what they're doing. They're trying to get to college, and they're working hard. They work all winter. They practice. And I said, would you guys be willing to partner with us as a sponsor to this team? So he was impressed with their work ethic and what they do. And, you know, grades are a requirement of this as well. So everything they go through. So the Army stepped in and said, yeah, we're willing to partner with you. And they've been fantastic. You know, they supplied us with some hats, got some T-shirts going, and then also have used their connections to further us being able to raise, whether it's donations, not just money, but people donating product and or labor time. So
you've got the thing going and you set up phases. What was your first phase? I think it was cleaning of the stands, Dave?
Yeah. We've started with the first phase was just getting everything out of there that wasn't safe. So there was, you know, leaves and the animals had been in there, taken over, made their little holes in their path. So we had to close all those up. We had to get all the garbage removed. We had to basically power wash and spray everything so that we can, and this is just the outside is what we're starting on. There are locker rooms, there are concessions, there's an office area, an umpire area, all of that got a general clean, but we started with the field. And then from there, now we're working on actually getting the field playable to where we've dragged the infield, we've dragged the outfield warning track areas, we've got fresh dirt coming in for the infield and the outfield. The park district's been great about taking care of the weeding, best that they can anyway with the spraying. So that's where we started anyway, was get it safe for our kids to come in and volunteer, clean up, and the parents there. And then now we're moving on to the next step, which is actually getting the field going.
So how about your batting cage?
Yeah, we just, I had a batting cage that I had bought years ago, so I donated that to the field. It's a full-length batting cage. There's room for two of them, so we have one, and that's one of the things that's going to be on our website, that if anybody has one they're not using and wants to donate it, we'll come pick it up. We're not opposed to buying one, but first we're just going to reach out to the community if anybody has something that they can donate. But we'd like to, just like the minor league days, they had two full batting cages, and there are two teams in a game, so one team can have each one. Right now they're going to have to share.
And you might want to tell me I think I know the answer to this, but who's painting the dugouts?
That would be me. Myself and my father, actually, who is retired now, so he's out at the park almost every day. He's a handyman. He spent his whole life in construction, so anything that needs to be fixed, he knows how to do it, and I'm usually there to lend a helping hand because that's his area of expertise.
What kind of shape is your outfield fence, Dave?
The fence was in really rough shape to start. We had multiple, they're basically 4x8 plywood boards, but they stretch up 12 feet high for the outfield fence, so we had multiple that were hanging sideways, were open, so we've recently got all of that back to alignment, secured, and now we're scraping that because that needs to be painted as well. It is, it looks kind of like a leopard out there. It was black paint, and with the scraping areas, there's a lot of spots on it.
So who's adding the 20 tons of infield mix that you need? Who's bringing that up for you?
We've got Conserve FS has volunteered actually to do all the labor, so they're charging us for the material. So they're partnering with us. They're going to rebuild our pitching mound. They're rebuilding our home plate area. They're taking basically the areas that need to be raised and dumping the dirt in the right spots. We've got two different dads that are volunteering to bring in their big skid loaders where they can scoop it and drop it where we need it. So Conserve FS has been a good partner so far.
Well, I would think that the boys who are going to be playing, their parents are probably going to be contributing too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. They've been in there the last two weekends. We've had work weekends and open field, which is supposed to be the kids are doing most of the work and the parents are kind of supervising and helping, and it ends up turning into the boys go out on the field and start playing some baseball, and the moms and dads end up doing the sweeping and the cleaning.
And you still have to add 45 tons of red warning track mix?
Yeah, we have 45 tons that it's going to require to get all the way around the outfield as well as in front of the dugouts. It's going to basically surround the whole field. So it's all the foul territory is fenced in. So it's going to require at least 45 tons. It might even be a third truckload by the time we get done.
What kind of shape are the stands in, Dave?
That's the one good thing. They made them out of aluminum. So it's the bench seating like you used to have at Wrigley Field with the outfield, bleacher creatures. But we also have some stadium seating. So that started as red, and over three decades, the sun has turned it a little bit more of an orangish red. And we do have a few of those seats that need a little bit of tightening and turning, but that's kind of, and it's in great shape compared, and especially once we got it washed off, that's in the best condition of anything at the field.
So do you have a parent helping you with the scoreboard?
Right now, we just talked to a gentleman who can repair the scoreboard because it was very hard to find anyone that even could service it. So I've got one of the parents is helping me out with talking to him and then being out there because it requires getting up on a 30-foot ladder. And once he comes out, we're hoping to retrofit it because back in those days, you had to have a wired connection for your scoreboard controller. And this gentleman that's coming out is hopefully going to be able to get everything set up so we can do what they do nowadays, which is all through the remote, put the scoreboard in a safe or the score box, the controller in a safe location. And then it turns it on and off, and no one has to get up on a ladder anymore.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So, yeah, and he said there's over 1,000 lights, and we're not sure if any of them work. So we may have a lot of light bulbs to replace, too.
Oh, my goodness. 1,000. What wattage light bulb is that?
He said, but I'm not even sure. It's a special light bulb that they used back then, and it's not like we can just use a regular light bulb to plug in because, as it was explained to me, each light bulb helps complete the circuit. So what I took that to mean is kind of like Christmas lights. Some of the lights, if one went out, they all went out. So you had to replace it. And it sounds like that's what the scoreboard is. It's a special light bulb. So the good news is it's repairable. The bad news is we don't know how much it's going to cost and how many we're going to need.
And now you need to also repair the bullpen mounds too?
Yes, the bullpen mounds fell victim to the rain and the elements. So they were once standard major league height of 10 inches. They're probably sitting around 6 maybe right now. So we've got to first clean up all the different weed elements around it. And then some of that dirt that comes in for the 20 tons on the infield, we'll mix a little of that in with some of the pitching mound clay, they call it, and get those back in repair. There are two of those, so one for each team. And that's important, obviously, before we get the games going, because we have to have those safe, too. We want the kids being able to get their arms warmed up in the right way so that then when they go to the actual pitching mound in the game, they're right where they should be.
What about the windscreen that you need to install, Dave?
Yeah, we actually have a gentleman who donated. He has a charitable trust, and he donated, purchased the windscreen we need. So we've got, I think it's 440 feet of 4-foot-high windscreen. It's going to be in a nice forest green color that's going to cover all of the different side foul lines that it's today just your usual chain link fence. But as someone who's played on a field with chain link fences and anyone who knows it, if you run into that, it sometimes snags your uniform or it, even worse, can cut into you a little. So this windscreen provides a smooth edge. So if they do go over there, everything that's got a little bit of a hook to it is going to be covered by that windscreen with a topper that goes on top of that to make sure the little pokey chain link on the top doesn't catch anything. So that's got to be installed as well, because we have our grand reopening on Memorial Day weekend. We have a big tournament that we're running. It's called the General's Salute to Veterans. So it's our way of kind of saying thanks to all the veterans that did so much for us.
Boy, I'm getting a headache already because I'm thinking of all the things you have to do over here.
Then
we haven't even touched about the sound system yet.
No, that that has the big speakers for those that watched the League of Their Own, the Rockford Peach. That was about the Rockford Peaches, which their stadium's two blocks away. That was just renovated a few years back and still in great shape. But it has the big old-fashioned ones up there, but I haven't found a way to repair those. So we actually had a sound system, again, that was donated. And it, due to the way that the field's set up, we didn't want to risk that someone may come in and damage it or take it, so it's all portable. We've got two real big speakers with microphone capabilities, so we're able to announce the batters, have the music in between innings, and ideally, as long as the tournament's running on time, we'll play the national anthem before each game, too. But for sure, before the first game every day, we'll be able to play that, and everybody in the park will hear it. It's nice and loud.
So now, once you've got all this completed, all these many tasks, 10 tasks that you've got going on over here, then what happens for future improvements?
Yeah, down the road, and this could be later this summer, is what we're hoping. This is all going to depend on the donations that come in. As long as we have the money that comes in, we've got the volunteer hours to do what needs to be done. But we've got two pairs of locker rooms. There's a home and away locker room. There's a concession stand area right at the main gate. There's two other ones around the other side. We've got a whole third base area that we want to clean up that has a big, I'd say it's like a former party deck. It was made with all wood. It was really nice when it was made, but it hosts about 10 picnic tables for a group if they want to have a grill or something like that going during, whether it's a game or a weekend type event. So we've got that to do yet, and then especially the walkway areas. We've got probably 10,000 square feet of concrete and asphalt that has cracks and is in a little bit worse state that we have to just get that all compacted back in so that we don't have anybody tripping or slipping. So those are future things to come. And the big one with the locker rooms is we want to have that so that we can have the kids that come out, whether they're 8-10 years old for the park district, we want them to be able to walk into a locker room and then walk out onto the field. I think that'll make them want to play baseball a little longer.
We're going to pause for one moment here to remind everybody you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We're talking with Dave Arvik about the Marinelli Field Restoration Project. Dave, how about bathrooms?
That's a big one. Right now we have had to go the porta potty route, and that is one of the first things on the second phase. That we've got water service, but we have very bad plumbing issues. Again, with the age of the stadium, we would like to get the bathrooms up and running before we're doing those camps, because obviously that's much easier for kids especially to go and make sure that they can be taken care of. But the fans as well, as we get more and more tournaments to commit, and we have a couple people interested in using Marinelli Field as a feature event for not this summer per se, but next summer, as long as all of this can get done. And then that's going to draw anywhere from 8 to possibly 24 teams per weekend into the Rockford area, to where each team would get a game on Marinelli Field.
All these games right now will be day games, correct?
Correct. Everything as of now, not necessarily by choice, but it has to be a day game. We have lighting capabilities out there. I believe we've got 8, different tall light stands that were once used for the night games of the minor leagues, but unfortunately, much like the rest of the stadium, that's got to be repaired, and those are the most costly. That's kind of the last thing on our list to where we'd love to be able to have night games again. There's nothing quite like, especially when you're a young kid playing baseball, when you get to be out there with the lights turned on. So we're really aiming, again, that's where the donations help kick in. The more that comes in, the more we can get to that after we've done the bathrooms and the different locker rooms and such.
So you're going to also have baseball camps for young kids for learning how to play baseball, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we're going to schedule the first one for the end of June. The goal is to have at least one a month, but if we can get everything in repair quicker, we're going to do at least a couple of those. The Park District is looking at partnering with us. They run their summer camps where kids are there from 8 till 4 o'clock each day. So the goal is that they would bring one group over as we go along, whether it's a Wednesday or a Thursday, and they spend 3 or 4 hours at the park. I've talked with Rawlings, where the big dream is to be able to let each kid have a glove that they can take home. So they come, they learn how to catch the ball the right way, they learn how to throw it. We'll have bats there, and Rawlings is partnering with us to provide discounted and or free gloves for each of these camps. And it's going to be something where moms and dads don't have to pay a penny. If we get enough money in the door, we're going to pay for all of that. Instead of a lot of these camps today charge $100, $200 for a day. Well, that's great for an advanced player that needs to learn more advanced baseball mechanics, but we're just looking at teaching the basics, get kids playing the game again.
So now how are you going to form your leagues as far as who's going to play there and define the teams to play in that park?
Yeah, the tournaments, the good news is there's a couple websites online where most of the travel teams look for their games. So once we've got it to where it's safe, it's all cleaned up and it's able to be used, we can set up our own tournaments. There are partners out there that also, I mentioned one of them that may want to make it a feature field. So he advertises to the whole 6-state area. And then those teams would sign up through him. So some of those tournaments are 8 teams. Other times they play age groups of 14 all the way up to 18 years old. So it could end up to where you've got 24 plus teams out there. But it's all mainly on the internet nowadays. People have to see it, and you have to get the recognition and know, hey, there's a tournament at Marinelli Field again. So if you don't get it out there, people don't know, much like the restoration project. That's why we can't thank you enough today for talking about it.
So you'll have teams that will be coming from McHenry County that you can contact?
Oh, absolutely. We've got, I'll bet over the years, there have been 20 different organizations from whether it's McHenry or the surrounding area that have played in tournaments in Rockford, but at different locations, and not the Marinelli Field location, obviously. They tried to put a tournament 3-4 years ago. There was someone who did clean up the field to make it playable, but it didn't hold because they didn't have enough volunteers to get out there and keep things going.
So with your tournaments, Dave, will you also have, like, at some point in time, an All-Star game and also a World Series-type game?
Yeah, it's our goal to have those special recognition events. So It would be where we put out, again, this goes to the coaches of each of the programs and say, we'd like to host an All-Star Talent Weekend. I was just contacted by one of my parents, actually last night, who had dinner with, up in Beloit, we have a Class A team that's affiliated with the Marlins, the Florida Marlins. And he had dinner with their pitching coach and their hitting coach and said, boy, it'd sure be fun to get an All-Star type day where they can come down and we could even call it a little scout day where you have actual major league coaches and scouts that would show up and watch these kids all play for 2 to 4 hours. They can do their time trials and their throwing where they get a radar gun, see how hard they throw, and then they could play a game and see them in live action. So just another way to get exposure for the kids in the area. And that would be obviously at the more advanced age group. But boy, that could sure put them into college, or it could even get them on the radar, and who knows what happens from there.
So with all the work you're doing on the field and all the things that are going on right now, when will you actually be ready to start your season?
Yeah, the target we need to have all of this done on the field part is this coming up Friday. So Memorial Day weekend, we have a tournament that's going to run on Saturday and Sunday. But after that, to get all these other All-Star games and everything, the target is August. We'd like to have a full fall season. So there are fall baseball leagues for 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds, anybody who's a high school age, basically, and they play right into November. And we're looking at hopefully having some type of a tournament structure to where it'll be like a league, but then there'll also be that All-Star game and that championship at the end of it. And that's going to be depending on the weather. We never know what we're going to get here around Chicago. It could be 70 or it could be 30 by November.
So for all the things you're doing on this field, all the repairs, all the maintenance, everything else that's taking place, you hope to have that ready for Memorial Day?
Yeah, the windsock will be up. The walls will be painted. We just got a donation from Lowe's. They've donated a power paint sprayer, so that's going to cut the paint job in the outfield down to basically a day. And all of the dirt's going to be in by then. I have a whole team of parents coming out this weekend. Saturday, Sunday, they're going to show up early in the morning, and we're going to work all day Saturday and Sunday. The home plate area and pitching mound is all getting done, as I mentioned before, by Conserve FS. So they said they only need a day. So everything's on target to be ready to go to where at least the field and the stands are good and clean and ready to go.
Now, these are parents of the kids who are going to be playing ball.
Correct. Yep.
Now, what about the ladies? How about the girls?
We'd love to get some girls programs out there. The Rockford Peaches field, as I mentioned, is only 2 blocks away. So one of the things that could be done is you could even have a tournament where we've got girls teams playing on both fields. But that's something that, you know, it's tough when I haven't had any experience in there, but we're certainly going to advertise it out because I know Rockford used to have an over 18 years old girls team that would play. And that's what we'd like to get going to all ages. We don't have to have it be just for baseball for boys. You know, if anything, I've seen some girls that are very good baseball players, and I'd love to see getting that going on both fields again.
As we've seen in basketball as well.
Yes, definitely.
What, curiosity, Dave, what's the depth of field, right field, left field, and center field?
Yeah, so the dimensions, it's still the same as it was in the minor league days. It's 330 feet to left and right field, and it's 400 to straightaway center. So, and it's a 12-foot fence. So that's typically the biggest fences you'll see, except for the Green Monster out in Boston. So it takes a poke to get it over that one. But yet the minor league guys did it. There are a few guys, 30-plus home runs a year there, so...
And one more question. How about the bats and the balls? You have to have several balls, I would imagine.
Yeah, that is one of the actually biggest challenges, Ron, is because of where the field is situated, there is a park district park that's behind us, and that is full of trees. So a lot of the fall balls will go over that. So that's another thing that we're looking at upgrading, again, down the road, or if somebody has nets that they're willing to donate, is we need to get about a 40 by 100 foot net that's at the back of the stands to keep some of those baseballs in. Nowadays, the baseballs they play with are $10 to $12 a ball. So if it gets over that, it's in the woods and it's no longer found.
So before we sign off, how do the folks contact you, Dave, if they want to get more information?
Yeah, the best way is we have a Give, Send, Go page that we've started. It's givesendgo.com/Marinelli Field, which is Marinelli Field. And if they go there, that'll also then redirect them to a website we've got getting set up right now that's going to show the current status of the projects, things that we're looking for donations. If we don't have to have money, we have many things we're going to need to get donated, whether it's baseballs or other things like that, or even gloves that we can give away to kids that come into the camps. But that's the best way is through that page. They can then get to our eventual webpage.
Well, folks, you've been listening to Dave Arvik, who is restoring Marinelli Field. It's a restoration project for the young boys and girls in the area. And we wanted to thank him for being here today. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio station. Go to huntleyradio.com and contact us if you need more information. In the meantime, have a great day, and we thank you for listening.